Nigimel Shvat is the yahrzeit of Rav Mordechai Lechavitcher. It's the Saba Kaddisha of Lechavitch. And perhaps the most famous Geza, which comes from Lechavitch, is Slonim. It's a Litvisha Chassidus. Koydinov is another one, maybe others. But the Saba Kaddisha is the very first Rebbe of this Chassidus is Rav Mordechai Lechavitcher. You know that every tzaddik, which he's speaking about until now, Baruch Hashem many, there's something usually unique about that tzaddik, about the Biderach Avoida, and the Maifsim, about the life, and the Nisim and the flows, all the different components which create in our mind what a Rebbe is.
Do you want a hot tea, by the way? You sound like you need a hot tea.
Didn't think about it, though. If you think I need one. Uh-huh. Rav Mordechai Lechavitcher, as we'll see momentarily, we don't have so many maifsim, although there were many, but his way was to hide the maifsim. But he had a certain derech in Avoida, which was all about emunah. Everything is about emunah. They said about him, kol maseu b'emunah. Everything about the Lechavitcher is about emunah, emunah, emunah. And we'll see stories about that in his derech Avoida as it came to the inyan of Amemuna. When he was a young child, his father, whose name was Noyach, Reb Noyach, and he actually had a son who was Reb Noyach, and he took over the Chassidus from him. He took him to Reb Aaron HaGadol from Karlin to get a bracha as a young child. And his father was a Litvisha Yid, and he told the Rebbe that he wanted to give his son a bracha, that he should be a big masman. So the Rebbe took the child and he put him very close against his chest and he held him like that for a very long time. And he said, don't worry. He says, after that, your son's going to be a big masman. So later on in life, Rav Mordechai, he said that with that maisa, with what he did for me, he made me into a bal tshuva. That's what he said. Nothing to do with hasmada. Because I was a bal tshuva, I made him zeich to hasmada. But he turned me into a bal tshuva. That's the Iker Inyan of Chassidus is be a bal tshuva. When he was 12 years old, he lost his father at a young age, and they hired a malamed to learn with him, but he wasn't interested. He liked to spend his time in the forest, speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, many, many hours every day, but his boy did this. Yet somehow he turned into a gevaldik talmid chacham, even as a youngster. And at the age of 12 years old, in one of the shuls in Vilna, he gave like a very big pilpul, beautiful drasha. Everybody was astounded by this. And it was the talk of the town that, you know, that this youngster was destined for greatness, and everybody considered him to be a rising star in the world of Avodas Hashem, especially by the Litvishers. They had a lot of hopes from him. But when he became a Rebbe, so one of the maifsim which he made was that everybody forgot that he was a Bucky in Torah. He made himself, he davened that he should just be considered an Amaretz. Although his Talmud is perhaps his greatest Talmud, Moshe Kabriner said that those in his circle knew that he was a Bucky, but Talmud Bavli, Yerushalmi, Taisefta, Halacha, Gada, and much, much more. But he made himself out to be like Amaretz, and he had a lot of his Nagdus. It was early years of Chassidus. His main Rebbe was probably Rav Shlomo Karliner. Rav Shlomo Karliner, he said about him, or it was said about him, the shrach which was said about Yochanan and Zakkai, that he was able to understand the sichas oifay, sichas tekalim, what the birds are saying, what the trees are saying, sichas malachi asharis, what the malachim are saying. They said that about Rav Shlomo Karliner, and Moshe Kabriner said, all the madrigas they spoke about Rav Shlomo Karliner, that was also given over to Rav Mordechai Lechavitcher. He was really one of the very first shakers of Chassidus in that world of Litta, of which Slonim became a very famous name in Litta. But he was the first one to really make very deep trenches in the world of Chassidus in the Litvish world. The Tzaddikim, they spoke of his praise. Rav Baruch Hu from Ezhbish said about him, everybody knows that Rav Mordechai is Yochid B'Dorei when it comes to Emunah. But what they don't know about him, that with his taharas hamidos, he's like Adam Arishon Kodem Achet. The Baditchever said about him that a third of the world rests on his shoulders. We mentioned this when we spoke about. You don't remember, but Mordechai Lechovich was a name which came up about his shvachim many times over the course of tzaddikim, what they said about him, but now we're talking about him. The Rishonim said about him, they called him the Man HaGador, and that he was Kodesh Kodashim. The Rishonim had to say something like that. For himself was Kodesh Kodashim. One of his drachim, like we said, when it came to Emuna, and this was one of his avoidas, is that he would say, a person is not allowed to speak about things which are higher than his madrega, except when it comes to Emuna. If a person is allowed to talk about Emuna, and it should always be on his lips, even madregas of Emuna which are higher than himself. And as such, this was his derech avoida. He said that my way as a Rebbe, how I manig my chassidus, is that I don't do maifsim for others. Of course he did. And this is perhaps the biggest maifis of all. Is that my way is that I bring my chassidim to levels of emunah so that the maifsim which you're looking for happen on their own. That they bring the maifsim upon themselves. That was his word. And one of the ways that he did that, if a yid would come to him in a tzara, he would be chayzi with him many times over the first three animams, or maybe even more. He would take him and he would say, repeat after me. Animamin b'munah shalema. And again, nachamol, animamin b'munah shalema. This would repeat itself. Sometimes for very long, be hours at a time, chazering over animamins, animamins. Moshe Kabina once said that I saw once the Rebbe that he took a yid in the street, and he whispered something to him, and the Rebbe started to be chayz animamins. By the third time he was saying animam, I couldn't be soyable the kedusha anymore, the eish of the animamins of the lechavitcher, and he was very sensitive to the kedusha of Moshe Kabina. He says I couldn't be soyable anymore the animamins that he was saying. And he said about himself that I didn't come to the world to bring parnasa to Yidden, which he did, of course. I came into the world to be machazik Yidden in their emuna. And I would say to them, spend with me a Shabbos, and by the time that they finish the Shabbos with him, you know, Shabbos is the secret of Malchus, which is of emuna, people were transformed legamrei by being in his alanamos for Shabbos. Tzidikim said about him, vayihi yodav emuna. Like we read in this week's parasha, as Yartzeit falls down in this parasha by Moshe Rabbeinu, vayihi yodav emuna, that he had hands of emuna, and the tzaddikim said that it was so tangible, his emuna was like holding a hand. That was the type of emuna which he exuded. For example, a yid came to him, and he said that he couldn't walk. He was in a wheelchair. He said, do you believe that Rabbeinu Shalom can be merapa, you can be refuah? He said, yes, I do. He says, you really do? So he said, yeah. So he chazed over with him. Until they came to the part where he says, Raifi Chaylim. When he got to that, he said again, Raifi Chaylim, Raifi Chaylim, Raifi Chaylim, over and over and over again. He says, do you believe that Hashem is Raifi Chaylim? He says, yes, I believe, I believe. He says, if that's the case, you believe, so get up out of your wheelchair and start walking. And that's exactly what happened. That was his way, to be poiled that through the emunah of the simple yidden, they would be able to create their own mifsim. There was a chassid who was very wealthy, Lechavish HaChassid, and there was a Gershon. And it was a very big machnes arech. There was another yid in town who was also even more wealthy than him. But he refused to take guests, and any guests who would come to this rich man, he would send them to Reb Gershon. And Reb Gershon felt, you know, a little bit offended by that, and he wasn't so happy with this yet. So he came to the Lechavisha to discuss it. He said he was frustrated. So he said to him, Gershon, Leisisna esachicha bilvavecha, which means don't hate another Jew in your heart. He says, Leisisna esachicha, don't hate your friend bilvavecha, because you have a better heart than him. Don't hate another Jew because you have a better heart than him. He once told the Moshe Kabina. He says the pasuk says, "Maki nefesh behema yishalmena." Parashas Mishpatim. He who hits or who kills the nefesh of a behema yishalmena, you have to pay for it. So he told the Kabina. He said, "Maki nefesh behema." A person that he hits, his nefesh habahamis yishalmena, it will complete him. He'll become a complete person from the word shleimus. And the Kabina says, "I went with that for many years that time." Many years that Torah carried me through my Avodas Hashem. to watch him light the neiris on Hanukkah, the tzaddikim said that it was like watching the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash. It was once even a mestagin who just came to watch him eat. And he didn't believe in the Rebbe and Chassidus, and he says, I don't need to see anything more. Just to see, watch the Rebbe eat on a regular day was like watching a Kohen eat in the Azar in the Beis HaMikdash. By him, just everything which he did, the Avodah, the Muna and the Avodah was so palpable, although he tried to conceal it. But this is how he was Bekar Yidin, just by simple acts of Avodah Hashem. He says, my heart and my mind doesn't understand how it is shaykh for a Yid, even for a single moment, to forget the Rabbanu Shalom. That's something which is Ruggle B'Fif. I don't understand. No part of me can understand how a Yid could forget the Rabbanu Shalom even a second. His avoda on Erev Shabbos is that shortly after Chatzos, when it was already time to daven mincha, it was shaykh to daven mincha, so he would start mincha. And his mincha lasted from half an hour after Chatzos, which you could daven mincha, until Shabbos. It was like the Baal Shem Tov's Medrigas. Baal Shem Tov also, he had daven very long, very, very long mincha Erev Shabbos, and he would be besaking all the neshamas that would come to him, thousands and thousands, very, very long.
When would he take a shower?
He already took a shower.
He went to the mikvah.
Yeah, he went to the mikvah earlier than that. Yeah, 5 hours in the day, he went to go to the mikvah. He once was in Minsk, in Russia, and he said over a Torah, and there were a lot of misnagdim there, and they were making fun of the Torah. Because you know how many chassidish Torahs don't always fit into the pasuk so well, you know, and they're not really used to that. They want something glatt, a nice drush. So he said a vart, and they were kibitzing and making fun of it. So afterwards, when he was walking away, he said, what do they want from me? He said, they want that I should fit the Torah into the psukim when I'm really trying to fit the Torah into my heart. Oh. His amunah was so palpable, we said before, that like many rebbes of the time, you know, the Sitra Echa had them thrown into jails for nothing, just stamazoi. And he was falsely accused of something, and he was being escorted to jail. And the Talmidim said, at the time that he was walking to jail, he had the same countenance, the same face as he had when he was walking his daughter to his chuppah. He was makabalit with such an ahava, with such a simcha, that you couldn't tell the difference in going to his chuppah for his daughter or from going to the base hasurim to go into jail. That was how he looked. The same exact face. Some of the maestro we told about about the Saba Kadisha from Radishitz, they say a similar ma'isa about Mordechai Lechavitcher. You know, like the Poritzim, you know, they're always making trouble for the Yidden. So Yid once came from a nearby town and complained to Mordechai that having tzaras from the Poritz, so he said, which town are you from? Which direction is that? So he pointed. So he took his makil, he took his stick, and he pointed it towards the town, and he went, pow! You know, pow! And later they found that the Poritz was dead.
It must have been some range he had.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hate to stand that out. It's part of the Avoda.
Yep. He had a chassid who passed away, and he was being downed in the basin Shamala. And the chassid said, he said, this isn't right. I never did anything in my life without asking my Rebbe. So how could you do anything, passing anything against me now without asking my Rebbe? So they listened to that Taino, and they said, that's actually a very good point. And so they said that Rav Mordechai should be involved in the decision, what's going to happen with this chassid. So Rav Mordechai, he was called up to Shemaim to participate, and he says, this chassid, he was an ani his whole life. And if he was an ani, the Gemara says, being an ani, he cleans a person from his yisurin and from Gehenna. So he's potter from Gehenna, because he was an ani his whole life. He paskin in the Beis Shemala from his chassid. I don't do anything without my Rebbe. So he was invited to come psak, and he was matzalim. The Dachavitcher used to say, Rav Moshe Wolfson quotes this. He used to say that if a person is not able to daven a tefillah behislava, it's a fiery tefillah, even after having done a very serious aveira, he hasn't even taken one step into the house of chassidus. Doesn't know anything about Chassidus. somebody once came to him and said that he was working for a geisha person. And in the beginning, the relationship was very good. But of late, the guy was making a lot of tzars for him. So he asked the Rebbe what to do. So the Rebbe said, what's to do is this. He says, when you first started to work for the guy, so you didn't like him because he was a guy. And that's why he liked you. But now that you're starting to like the guy because you think he's a good guy, because he likes you, that's why he hates you. Because the klal is, there always has to be separation between a yid and a guy. Either you separate from him or he's going to separate from you. Mm-hmm. But there can't be this goodness, this good feelings between a yid and a guy, because that's how it is. Va'avdu l'schem min ha'amim. Somebody once came to him, and right away he said, how'd you get here? Rebbe said to him, how'd you get here? He says, I came on a donkey and carriage. So he said, did you fall off while you were coming here? Did you fall off the donkey? He says, no. He says, what would you do if you did? He said, I would get back on. Says, let's say you were traveling and you fell off. What would you do then? He says, I would get back on. And again, I would get back on. So if your Yetzirah throws you off, who's a chamar, so you get back on again and you keep going. No matter how many times Yetzirah throws you off, you keep going. That's all he told him. And when he walked in, he knew what he needed to hear. If your behemoth throws you off, you get back on and you keep going.
Wow.
Do you have a behemoth?
We all have a behemoth. There was a great chassid, a great makubal, who lived in the town of Lechovich. Rei Chashavit, and his name was Rav Yosef from Rakov. And even before he came to the Lechovich, he was a very well-known Talmud Chacham. He wrote Sfarim on the Zohar Kaddish. And in Litta, when the Machlekes came out against Rav Mordechai Lechovich, the chassid, all the misnagdim, so he was on the fence, and they made a cheirim against Rav Mordechai Lechovich. Amongst all the tzaras which he had, they made a cheirim against him. But this Rabbi Yosef, he didn't know exactly whether to be involved or not to be involved. Is Mordechai true or not? So he sat on the side. And he didn't sign, but he didn't protest. And then it came time to the Emunah Raim. And usually by the time Emunah Raim were coming along, Chodesh Elul, he was very fiery, and he could feel the iris coming down. But this year, mamash nothing. Mikvah. Many mikvos and tainesim or whatever he was doing, he felt that all his madrigas went away. So he asked himself, I think this has to do with what's going on with the Mordechai, but I don't know. It could be because I'm not saying anything that this is happening to me. But it could be that I'm not going along and protesting against him. That's why it's happening to me. So how am I supposed to know? So he made up his mind that on Motzi Shabbos he was going to go to the Lachavisher, to his klois, to his base madrash, and to observe his avodah. Because he figured he would be going much longer. So when he came to the city of Lechovich, and it was Motzi Yom Kippur, so he saw some of the chassidim who were already leaving. So he just turned to a chassid and he says, Sunu, how was Yontif? What did you see by the Rebbe? So he said, this year by the Rebbe, something very interesting. When he was saying the tefillah of Hayei and Pipiyos, that's what the Chazan says when he asked that Hashem should be with him in the davening. So we say, one of the things that the Chazan says is, Miruchamecha, those who love you, Hema Miruchamim, they should be loved. But this time when he came to the words, Meruchamecha Hema Meruchamim, he said, Meruchamecha, those who love you, Hema Muchramim, they're in Cherim. The ones who love you are in Cherim, referring to himself. So when he heard that, he realized that the reason why the tzaras are happening to Muslim Jacob is because he didn't stand up against the Cherim. So he came with a whole different approach, and he observed the avodah of Lechovich on Motzi Shabbos, on Motzi Yom Kippur, and he stayed for Shabbos, and he became very attached to the Lechovich, very attached. And he stayed to Chanukah. And he said afterwards, when he looked at his sefer that he wrote on the Zohar, he says, I can't even look at this anymore. He says, I can't believe I said such pshatim of the Zohar. Now that I met the Lechovich, I have a total different understanding of what the Zohar Kodesh is talking about. And he used to say, he lived to the age of 83 years old, and he met the Lechovich when he was 70. So when he turned 83 years old, he said, this is my bar mitzvah year. He says, because the years before I met the Lechovich don't count. He says, I consider myself a bar mitzvah now at the age of 83. And he said, if for every year which I would know the Lechovich more, I would give away all of my money which I had. And to even know the Lechovich a second year, I would be mekabel upon myself all of the Yisurim and Nachamish Gamzu from the first day of my life to know the Lech Avitcher for 2 more years that I knew him. That's how much he felt the impact of Lech Avitcher in his life. One of the beautiful ma'asim which I once heard from my Rebbe Shlita is that he said there was once a chassid who was traveling to the Lech Avitcher to be with him on Rosh Hashanah, like a good chassid. But there were some problems with the wagon, and he had to stay in Leipzig for Rosh Hashanah, and he was very, very broken about that. And it was the middle of davening, and he heard at one point during the davening like a baskel, which said Hamelech, and he heard that. He realized it was his Rebbe's voice. It said Hamelech, and he had the kachias from that. When he came to the Rebbe on Purim, because he couldn't make it for Rosh Hashanah, so he went back home, and the next time he came was on Purim. The Rebbe said at the Tish, this is what the Lech Avitcher said at the Tish, this was the Torah, he said, V'nishma piskam ha-melech b'chol medinas malchusei. He says that V'nishma piskam ha-melech, which is the decree of the king of Achashverosh, was heard in all the medinas of his malchus. But the Lech Avitcher said this, V'nishma piskam ha-melech, that this word ha-melech can be heard in all of the medinas of his malchus. The chassidim can hear the word ha-melech wherever they are in the medinas of the malach, they can hear ha-melech. That's what he said. So when the chassid came to the Lech Avitcher, he looked at him, he says, no, is it true? Is it true? Is it true? There's 2 more stories. There was a city called Samagran. Very lot of Misnagdim had lived there. And there was a Chassidish Abachar who came, and he tried to conceal his Chassidus. But once they saw that he was learning in the Beis Medrash and like singing a nigan and getting very hot and beslavas from his learning, and they rechoshed him that he was a Chassid. And he was forced to tell them that he was a Chassid of the Lech Avitcher. So they said, so if your Rebbe is a real Rebbe, let's hear a Torah from him. He said, okay. So it says on the Pasuk by Yosef HaTzadik, when he's being tempted to do the sin with Eishes Poitifar, so the Torah tells us, says Yosef, Eich esa hara hagdoila. How can I do this terrible chait? V'chatasi lelekim. And to sin to Hashem. V'chatasi. In the singular. So the Lech Avitcher said, it should say v'chatanu. He's talking to Eishes Poitifar. And we will sin to Hashem. It's not a sin for her. It's only for Yosef. So why did he say v'chatasi? So said the Lech Avitcher. He says, because one of the tactics of the Yitzhahara is for a person to think that it's me and her. That like we're in this together. But even that's from the Yitzhahara. So he didn't, even in his speech, he didn't want to include her in the speech. To say like, we will have sinned together. He didn't want to mention it, him and her together, even doing the chayit together. So he left her out of it. And he just said, v'chatasi leilakim. They heard that Torah, they said, to say such a Torah is only Ruach HaKadosh. So they sent one of the Bachim to go take a look at the Rebbe, and he didn't come back. They didn't know what happened to him, so they sent another Bachar, he didn't come back. Each Bachar went to go look for the other Bachar, and each one who went got sucked into Lech Avitcher. What happened was this. Time went by. Oh, I'm sorry, these weren't Bachim. The first guy was a Bachar. These were Avreichim. These were married people. They went, they didn't come back. Their wives were wondering what was going on. They had no idea where they were. And the in-laws were getting very upset that these women were now agunas and the husbands had left. And this was for a long time. They didn't come back till months later. When they came back, the father-in-laws didn't allow them to come into the homes. They didn't allow them to come in. They said, how could you do that to our daughters, to keep them like that? You don't even send a message. This, they lost sight of the world because they were the Lech Avitcher. So they forced them. They had to rent out like a shack. They rented out. They had to stay in a shack. That's what they had to stay. You know, back then, you know, today, a different world. But back then, they stayed in a shack. And so what happened was, they sent a shliach to the Lech Avitcher, because they wouldn't let them leave, you know, asking for Yeshua from the whole Inyan. So he just sent back 4 words. V'yoyimu v'goyim Hashem Alach. That the goyim will say Hashem Alach, that Hashem rules. They didn't know what to make of that. But anyways, this is what happened. The Paritz of the town, it was his birthday, and many other Paritzes from nearby towns came to celebrate. So the Paritz was showing these Paritzim around his town, and said, looking at this, you know, this, that, showing off. So they passed by this shack, and these Chassidim, you know, now Chassidim are davening with the fire. They, you know, they didn't stop doing what they were doing. They were this lavas in their halavida. So one of the Paritzim, the visiting Paritzim, turns to the Paritz and says, you see what's going on over here? These are like angels, these guys. So you're showing us your town, your swimming pools and your mansions and all that, and you have a shack over here with angels and you don't say anything about it? So he said, I didn't even know about this. I never even noticed the shack. I don't know. So he did some investigation and he found out that about the in-laws, how they threw him there, and he got all upset, and he made sure that they were to go back home, and he knossed them for throwing them in there. A whole lot of pain for that.
So then the end. Why would the shards, you know, those people that usually like cause problems?
Yeah, but Hashem made, you know, Hashem made a nace that, wow. that this pirates would actually think that this was, they were like angels, and it created a whole storm in the city. And then they understood Lamafreya what it meant, that the Rebbe said, V'yemu b'goyim Hashem Molech, that the goyim are the good ones going to help you, and they're going to say Hashem Molech. That was the issue. The Seder of his Histalkus is that he had a grandson whose name was Shlomo Chaim, and he was going to get married in a faraway town in the city of Stalin, and he didn't know whether to go to the chasna or not, because he was very weak. And they decided to make a beis din, and the beis din were paskin whether he should go to the chasna, and they paskin he should go to the chasna. When the psak came out, he said about that, alas is fafalin, everything is lost now. He knew that already he wasn't going to live anymore if they paskin that he should go. Anyways, they schlepped him to the city, to Stalin, and the 13th of Shvat was the day of the chasna. And he saw that even the chuppah was coming, and he was having a yitzias neshama already. So he took his tzitzis in his hand. And he took his beard with his other hand, and he held him, and he started to sing the lashonis, which we say by a bris milah. Kel chai chelkenu tzireinu tzavi lahatsu yediza sherina mishachas mambrisa shesamiv sarina. Which is a tefillah, we ask Hashem, Kel Chai. And he said these words over and over again. Kel Chai, living God, the living God. Chalkeinu Tzireinu, we are part of him, he is our rock. Command to save our brethren from the Gehenim because of the bris which we keep on our flesh. He repeated that many times. And as he repeated this over and over and over again, he had Yetzias Nesham. Later they found that in his pocket, he had a very big chavivas for Moos Eretz Yisrael. And he used to say about Moos Eretz Yisrael, if I would reveal to the Chassidim what the Indian of Moos Eretz Yisrael, money of Eretz Yisrael is, they wouldn't care for money in Chutz Laretz anymore. He had a big Indian with that. They found later in his pocket, in one pocket, he had 31 Reinblech, which is Gematria Kale. And in the left pocket, he had 18 Reinblech, which is Gematria Chai. That's what he was saying, Kale Chai, Kale Chai. So what's the Indian? What's the backstory behind this? Why did he say those psukim? Because many years before that, he had said this. He said, I don't know which way they're going to take me when I get to the next world. If they're going to take me to the Gehenna or to the Gan Eden. But I know one thing, that if they're taking me to the Gehenna, if they're taking me to the Gan Eden, I won't be able to enjoy my Gan Eden unless I know that there's not a single Jew in the Gehenna. I can't enjoy the Gan Eden if I still know that they're Yid in the Gehenna. So that's really the story behind this story. That before he passed away, he held his beard, and he held his tzitzis, and basically as if to say, then the schus of Mashmir Sabris, my tzitzis, I'm going to pull out Yidin from the Gehenna. Hatzel Yidin Meshachas, my bris Hashem Hashem. And because he was a Shomer Bris his whole life, he wouldn't go to the Gan Eden. He was telling the Beis and Shemala, I'm not going to the Gan Eden unless I take out every single year from the Gehenna. That's what he was saying.